Hey everybody, this is Mandy, and I wish I had dreams at night instead of nightmares.
Hi everyone, this is Ollie, and the world needs bees, both the pollinating and the people working kind alike. And this is the Mandy and Ollie podcast.
You search for guys with the most things. Daddy ran away and left your mama with the keys to the Mustang. Yeah, keys to the Mustang.
How are you doing today on this fine inauguration day, Mandy?
I'm good. I'm cool. How about you?
I am also good and cool. Cool and good. Both of those things, I am.
Good.
Well, how have your goals been for this week?
I've been doing all the things that I have set to do. Am I doing them as quickly as I would like? Probably not, but I'm getting all of them done. One of the things I wanted to highlight for this week is doing some jump rope / some dancing. I really want to make sure I do those this week. Okay. Particularly the jump roping.
That sounds very active.
Yeah. What about you? What's on your goals?
I know prior conversation I spoke about doing yoga. I haven't been doing that as of yet. This past week has been a little busier than usual. So, haven't done that. I've gotten a little bit more organized, but like I said, I haven't been writing down my goals. I've been trying to just do the get up and do it method, or that 5-second thing where it's like, okay, you don't want to do something, but count to five, then just get up and do it, get up and do it. And then I know a previous conversation we had with another friend, she was discussing how she was like, nope, I ain't got no goals. And I was like, that's something I want to try. So yeah, I'm kind of loosey goosey again this week with the goals, but I don't have any regrets about it.
Yeah. In reference to the friend that you're talking about in the conversation that we had as a collective, as I said to her, I'm like, yeah, like sometimes having nothing set for yourself, because she's not going to be doing nothing.
Right.
Like, she still has plenty in her life that I'm sure she's gonna complete or accomplish, right, or whatever. But not putting that pressure on yourself sometimes, or just like that expectation, especially from other people, because as soon as she says that, she was saying, like, you know, some people are like, what, nothing? And it's like, yeah, I said what I said. So I definitely could appreciate that, standing in that firmness of like, no, I'm not gonna do any of that. I'm not gonna put anything on myself.
Right. Okay. Are we ready to head into the safe space, I guess?
Yep, we can do that. Okay. What year this is a safe space?
You're not going to give him time to mosey us on over?
I mean, sure.
I mean, I guess it's enough time now. Okay, so... I want to know do you want that this is a safe space entry, or do you want to know this is a safe space? Like, this is a safe space. I feel like we probably don't. Which one would you like? There's A or B, and I'll be honest, I'll choose whichever one you choose.
This is a safe space.
Okay, we're going here. Hot takes, you guys, hot takes. So, this past week, and I don't feel like this has anything to do with me not writing them down my goals. This past week, I've been participating in a birthday gift that I received for someone, which were adult candies, aka adult gummy bears. And by adult, I mean they were THC infused. So almost every day this week, not every day, maybe three or I don't know. Within the last 7 days, 3 or 4 of those days, I've decided to partake in some adult gummies. And I have never been more productive in my life. And I just feel so enlightened. And I've had this conversation before with another friend, and this isn't the first time I've had them before. But for some reason, when growing up, there was just this stigma around THC and all sorts of good stuff and how it would make you lazy and tired and sleepy and yada, yada, yada. And it's done the complete opposite for me. And I don't know if it's a placebo effect where I'm just like, well, I don't want to fall into that stigma, so I'm going to be super productive. But I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like I'm able to think more clearly with this batch. Maybe it's just this batch. Maybe there's some special THC, put your pinky toe in it. I don't know. But I just feel like, dang, what would my life have been had I done this in college or high school or at, you know, the 50 trillion million jobs I either left or was told it's not working out at? You know what I mean? Like, would this have chilled me out? Would this have made me more focused? Like, and why is there such this nasty stigma on something that can be so helpful for people? So that's my entry. Hopefully this is a super safe space. I know it's a safe space with you, but I mean for the listeners.
I definitely learned this personally, and in taking that knowledge, I'm sure there's a lot of people that know more about it, but I do think it's the different options of it. Like, some of them can make you very sluggish, right, and some of them can make you very clear-minded and allow you to be productive. And it's I think with there being less of a stigma around it, that allows for people and, I don't know, scientists, whomever realized the different properties of the different options, it allows them to look those things up and make use of them. Because there are some people who need the sluggish one because they maybe have trouble sleeping, or they're, you know, those of us that need the productive one, or those of us who are just looking for a good time.
Right.
And I know that, like, if I'm looking for a good time and I get a sleepy one, I'm gonna be real disappointed. I'm just gonna be like, you know, I didn't feel it. Is how I, like, because if all it does is make me sleepy, I'm always sleepy. Like, I'm someone who doesn't really partake in caffeinated things very often. So you will always catch me yawning, always catch me ready to take a nap. I don't need any extra help with that type of thing, for the most part, anyway.
Funny.
So, oh, thanks. So, yeah. I think those that are just, like, determined to be like, it's a bad thing because it's a drug, they're gonna be mad about it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's very, you know, Nancy Reagan drilled it into people's heads, drugs are drugs and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, you know, drugs have, all drugs.
Right.
Have properties that people are, you know, there's a reason for them. Mm-hmm. Even alcohol,
which is y'all know why y'all taking it. Number one legal drug, but again, I feel like people don't want to, like, see that comparison where it's like, I can take some THC and be chilling in my home, be productive, be whatever. I can take some alcohol outside of my home and end up killing somebody, several somebodies. So it's just. And the effect, like you said, the effects can be different depending on whatever strain it is maybe you're ingesting. But it's just, it's frustrating when I look at this thing that majority of citizens have access to, which causes so much damage, drunk driving, bar fights, assaults, just a nasty list of things. And you're telling me that this plant or something that is strained from this plant is more destructive? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, the people I was thinking about would be, like, my parents. They tell me don't do either. Like, even with me being a grown adult person, they're like, don't drink. And I'm like, okay, but I'm an adult, so I'm going to do it. Yeah. Would you like some? That's the question. That's what I asked you. I asked you if you wanted some. I didn't ask you if I could do it because I don't have to ask you for that anymore, Mom. Your mom doesn't still try to, like, parent you to be like, you you shouldn't do that.
No, I think that's so funny. I was on the phone with her yesterday and she was saying something. Oh, she asked my advice about something. Okay, yeah. She asked my advice about something and I was like, hold up, let me grab my drink. And she laughed. She was like, drink? And I was like, yeah, I mix some wine with my Pepsi Max. And she was like, huh.
Well, I used to think that's a huh because why would you do that?
Yeah, this tastes good. Rosé and Pepsi Max taste delicious.
Rosé of all the wines? Listen. Oh my goodness.
Listen, until you experiment, that's what level of quarantine I'm on right now. I'm mixing different wines with different sodas and trying to see what the perfect combination is. Don't worry, because I'm going to have this all tested out by the time we can all hang out again in 2025. And y'all going to be like, dang, this is bomb. I'm be like, I know, I had 4 years to perfect the recipe. So, yeah. No, my mom doesn't. She doesn't even like bring it up or say anything. We might joke around and she'd be like, you drunk talking on the phone with me? And I'm like, I wish. Like, we'll go back and forth like that, but no. And she doesn't, but the thing is, she doesn't do it herself, but she's not really like, she's not even she's not really. She doesn't tell people, or I guess her kids, like, don't drink, don't smoke, don't whatever, blah, 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 blah. I think the last time I heard of maybe her drinking, it was like a church cruise. I guarantee you more than 10 years ago. And she apparently had like 1/3 of a wine cooler and was like, "Ooh, that's too much." So
that's how my mom is.
These church moms, I tell you.
So yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't know. The people I'm talking about, you know, they really do live in that truth where they're like, no, I don't do any of it. I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'm so happy for you, but I do.
Right. You and your sober self stay over there, and me and my sippy self will stay over here.
Yeah. So now that you've had such a positive experience, how do you feel like you're going to treat it going forward?
Ooh, that's the thing. So I'm wondering if, okay, like, say if I make this a regular, okay, so I don't know if you all know, but I'm in a place where it's recreational. So people can, for a while now, just go buy some and chill out or do whatever you want to do. So I don't know if I want to make it like a daily thing. I kind of want to do some tests, like, okay, let me see if I take 2 this day at this time, what happens? If I take 3, da 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 da. But I'm also like, I'm not sure if something I also really want to do, you know what I mean? Because what if it's just all in my head and it's like I'm getting, nothing's really happening. But from what I think I'm leaning towards, I think I want to kind of like up my dosage next week and then see if there's a change. And if maybe I become like immune or the effects aren't as strong, then actually go to a dispensary. Because like I said, this was a gifted container. It's a lot in there. But I think I want to try some different strains and see what they do.
Yeah, because I know when I do partake in it and it does what it's supposed to, that I become very aware of things, but I do not have control. So to me, I could be like, oh, I have to do this thing, and I'm like aware and I'm talking about it but I'm not doing it. I'm acting a plum fool. I'm all over the place. I'm very reckless. And it's like, but in my mind, even when that's happening, I'm aware that I'm acting recklessly, but I don't have control to stop myself from acting recklessly and be like, okay, well, now let's be productive. It's like, no, we're reckless. This is what we're doing now because you took this substance. So
interesting. Do you feel like you get that same, I guess, maybe general effect when you do alcohol, or is it different?
No, it's different. I feel like with alcohol, I get that I can sober up moment.
Okay.
Especially because it's a lot easier. Like, I have more experience with it. It's a lot easier for me to measure my intake or measure my levels to be like, okay, I'm getting, you know, getting a little lit.
Right.
And then when I do that, when I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little lit and I stop, then the train will stop.
Okay.
With that other stuff, I could stop. I mean, like, once the train leave the station, the train leave the station. It's not going back. So is like, we are going till we reach our final destination. You should have known. You, we don't make no stops on this train.
Okay.
It's the express. If you ever like live in like New York or one of them cities with them really good train systems, they're like, nah, you got the express bus. We ain't making no stops. The express train. So yeah. Okay. So I don't partake on those things when I'm like, oh, I need to have something to do. But again, I also, like you said, I just don't know what would I call it?
Threshold.
The grade A student option would be. I know what the student in detention option would be, the nap time option would be,
right?
But not the productivity option. So I don't even know which one is the sleepy option. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about it. I just partake it because I plan not to be doing anything else.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's something I'd also like to see how it is in a group setting, because I haven't, besides maybe once or twice, I haven't been able to, I guess, test it out enough in group settings. I mean, if everybody's just going to be chill out and go to sleep, then okay, I don't want to test it. But I'm also like, because like right now, like I said, I'm very productive. I'm very hyper. I have a lot of energy. But prior to this, when I had it last time, I was very tired. I was very just go to sleep for a couple hours. It like knocked me out. So I definitely want to maybe do some more instructions. Do some more research on different effects and just seeing if there is maybe something that can help me, or even I've been looking into CBD oils a little bit. Not that I have like any pains or stuff, but I'm like certain headaches and certain things like natural remedies. It's piqued my interest. So that's what I'm looking into. What is in your safe space for today?
Excuse me. I don't have a This Is a Safe Space. So what? If you wanted to do your other one, we can do that. Okay. Oh, I didn't think it was that exciting.
I mean, it wasn't exciting. I guess I could do more of like an alarm. That's an ambulance. What's an alarm sound? I don't know.
Bump, bump, bump. That's an alarm. Well, you didn't say it. You didn't specify.
I meant like ADT.
ADT.
ADT. You know the alarm company? The blue and white?
Oh, no.
No,
I didn't know what you were talking about at all.
All right. So my other entry was that I should be hearing back from that job I interviewed with today. I did a follow up email. That's another thing. I had to.
You must have done your drug test too. No, I'm just playing.
Sure. Yeah, I sent a follow-up email, so I guess I kind of want to dive into that too, or remind you all, like, it's okay to follow up with a recruiter. That's who I followed up with. That was my contact. It's been literally 13 days, 14 days, possibly almost 2 weeks, and so it was perfect timing to follow up because the starting time is mid to end February. So basically, I looked up what to say exactly to a recruiter. It was a 3-day weekend, so I basically did my greetings and I said, I hope you had a great 3-day weekend. If you were allowed the break, I know you all are hiring for this. I'm really interested. I enjoyed interviewing with them, just trying to get an update. Basically, that's the short and sweet of it. And he responded, it was very sweet. It was like, thanks for following up. I actually have my last meeting with them tomorrow, aka today, and they should have a decision by then, by the end of the day, and I'll reach out to you again. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. And it was just like a really quick response. I was really excited, but now I'm getting nervous. And I wasn't nervous before, but now I'm getting nervous. So
yeah. Nerve skated.
What's that?
Nervous excited.
I can't hear you saying nerve skated and nerves guided. I'm like, I don't know either of those words. But yeah, I am definitely excited. There is a blend of excitement in there. Maybe that's why I took the gummy bears, because I was like, dang. I was like, I don't have a brown paper bag. Let me take this adult candy. So yeah, we're going to hear back from them.
Well, everybody, as we did last week, listen, all y'all of that good energy.
Spirit bomb me, people. Give me your
good energy. Today gonna be a great day. Today gonna be a great day. Shout out to Dormtainment. That's my song. I used to listen to that every morning.
That is her song. And they have some dope mixtape / albums. Like, for real, you guys. Like, their music. And it's on Instagram. If you ever want to tag one of your things with their music, if you put in Dormtainment, their music will pop up. So use it, you guys.
Oh, I might need to do that for good energy.
Yeah. That's what I did for, it wasn't Ballin' on a Budget. It was one of their other songs. I think I Want to Cuddle You. It was one of their other songs I made for one of, we put out for one of the M&O.
Nah, girl. Claim your shit. You did that.
Yeah. Like to see what's on your plate. Mosey, 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 mosey. Heading to the kitchen, just kidding, in the room. So, Mandy, what's on your plate for your meat and potatoes today?
I guess my meat and potatoes is kind of like an underappreciated award, but not really. But I just wanted to say I'm so glad that there are instructors or people with just generally an expertise at things. Because as much as I like to DIY life and try things out for myself and stuff, Google can only help me but so much without having someone there to be like, explain something to me to make sure that I get it and do it right. When I was going through the experience, I wasn't specifically relating it to school, but it definitely has been applying to me with school. I like that my classes are online, but there is just like a lot, because it's easier for me in terms of the time frame to complete my work.
Okay.
However, there are a lot of times when I'm like, I don't know. And rereading this book or this lecture or whatever documentation was given to me isn't helping me figure it out. And having an instructor available to ask questions to is really just like necessary and needed. So in regards to the school portion, it's definitely just like sometimes I need to figure out how to make time to engage with them in their office hours or whatever, or when they're available online, because for me, that's when I'm working. But I got to take a lunch or whatever. I just got to do it sometimes to be like, I need this information. So I gotta get it.
Okay.
But sometimes it's just for simple stuff like, I am a child of the millennium, so I am somewhat tech savvy, but I'm also, I don't know, on the slow end when it comes to the tech savviness. So what is instinctual for other people is not instinctual for me. And I spent a good amount of time, you know, like when you repost stuff on Instagram and particularly a video, and there's a way to make the video play.
Yeah,
I don't know how to do that. And I was looking it up in Google, and Google was kind of getting on my nerves because they was like, do this, do this, do this. And I was like, okay, you must be missing the portion because it's not working.
Okay, I definitely see what you mean. I am definitely a fan of the, if someone asks me a question that I'm like, neither one of us knows why you asking me, use the Googler. But I'm more so a fan of YouTube. Like, people will do step-by-step videos of the simplest things. Earlier today, I was trying to figure out how to clear all of my cash out of my phone at the same time instead of going one by one. And then boom, I got like, of course they do the intros and the follow me's and stuff like that. But it was a less than 2 minute video of how to do what I needed to find out. That, like you said, when I looked on Google and it was step-by-step, open apps, go to home, go to settings, click on advanced, click on this. And I'm like, I don't have that button. How are y'all clicking that button? So I get what you're saying about possibly needing more or further instruction.
Yeah. But then generally just like things, some of those are like, okay, the things that are simple in life. But also to me, like, I just want to appreciate like those that have an expertise in something. Like, this is the one thing that you chose to study, that you chose to be great at, for lack of a better word. I think that was one of the things, if you seen or heard of the Queen's Gambit, I didn't really like the show, but that was because I wouldn't say it's a bad show. I'll just say I didn't really like it, but I watched the whole thing. Okay. But when I was looking at a lot of stuff about it, it seemed like they were talking about how exceptional this one girl is, in particular, like comparing her to other girls. And she wasn't doing it, so I wasn't hating on her. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was just the thing of like, she is exceptional at chess. Mm-hmm. She ain't really particularly exceptional in general. Okay. she's exceptional at chess, which is beautiful and still like really interesting, because at that time it was still a male dominated field.
Right.
So it's beautiful and exciting to see her at chess, but there were other women who were already there. Mm-hmm. Or just like other women who had other talents or were good at things or just interesting or whatever, and making it a comparison like, oh, she's different, she's not like the other girls. I'm like, nah, not really. Like, she's a pretty standard human. She's just exceptional at chess, and that is really nice for her. But she also had like a lot of other problems, and the fact that she was exceptional at chess allowed people to, or caused people to kind of ignore a lot of the other problems she had going on in her life. Mm-hmm. To where I'm like, y'all should have done something about that, because that was a problem.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying about appreciating people who have put in what I call their 10,000 hours. They say if you do anything for 10,000 hours, then you become an expert in it, whether that's practicing and whatnot. When I think about those things, I do think about people like in sports or in music, musicians, orchestra people. Those are the kind of people that originally come to mind, but it can be applied to anybody and anything. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I feel like nowadays we're all, as humans, expected to be able to do so many different things and juggle and wear so many different hats that I feel like it's not a priority anymore, or it's not on the forefront of priority. Like, I don't hear about anyone who's putting 10,000 hours into necessarily becoming the greatest podcaster, 10,000 hours into becoming, I don't know, the Guinness World Record breaker, 10,000 hours into becoming the best scientist in the world, 10,000 hours into, you know what I mean? I don't.
What happened to the Guinness World Book of Records?
I don't know.
You remember people used to just really want to do, like, they would spend, like, at least something they were interested in. Like, yeah. Oh, how much is the Guinness World Records for jump ropes?
Yeah.
And then they would try it for a day and be like, nah, I don't really feel like doing that. But still, it would just be like having that interest enough in something that it made you consider being the best at it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's because we're not being pushed, or if it's maybe people are being pushed in the privacy of their own homes and they're the ones that are getting to be like, I don't know, leaders and economic developers behind the scenes, and we just never know because maybe we're in worker bee mentality. But yeah, I do think about it. Or I think about, who is it? Gabby Douglas, maybe, whose parents like sent her to go live with someone else so she could train to be a better gymnast. And it's like, okay, I believe that if you told me you put in 10,000 hours, definitely out of, you know, your work and your outcome and your ethic, I believe that, I would believe that. But I don't know. Do you think you'd be that kind of parent where you're like, okay, my child has shown interest in, I don't know, robotics, so I'm going to make sure every single day that you're doing robotics, even after you say you're done with it, because you need to put in the time and it'll develop into something later on?
Yeah. So my dad was the first person to talk to me about or present the whole 10,000 hours to me. I think he found out about it in this book called The Outliers, which he would get the book on tape and make copies of it at the library and then dispense it to people, which you're not supposed to do.
Excuse me, your dad was an original pirate?
I mean, I don't know if he was original about it, but he was definitely a pirate. Oh, and gosh. He was like, no, I can do this. And it's like, you're literally not supposed to, but, you know, I'm not about to argue with you. So I listened to it, The Outliers, and it definitely made me think about all of the things that I was interested in, and my parents wanted me to put time into other things, and whether I have 10,000 hours of those things or not, mm-hmm. I didn't have natural talent at it. I just had, you know, effort, and so I was good enough to, you know, pass my grades or be satisfactory in it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then once that goal or marker was done, then I was done. Mm-hmm. So it made me think about, yes, those things where if a kid shows interest and then you fuel that interest, mm-hmm. Rather, then do they have the potential to be a Gabby Douglas or
Beyonce?
You know, just exceptional. Yeah, Beyonce. Because when I look at, like, a lot of the old Destiny's Child videos and stuff, and they were all there. But Beyonce definitely had a different kind of energy, and I don't think that's just because her dad was the manager. Like, sometimes everyone else would be, like, laughing and being goofy, and Beyonce would look at them like, why are y'all telling jokes right now? Or they would be, or just anytime that Beyonce was being shady, she was being shady. But I also feel like it was her, like, looking at it like, you not really about that life that I'm about. And maybe to an extent they weren't. Like, everybody in Destiny's Child originally had talent, but as we can see now, the work ethic that Beyonce had was undeniable.
Right. I agree her work ethic was undeniable, but I will say that I feel like she was also positioned to be in the forefront. Because when
definitely.
I
was, her dad was the manager.
Right. So I'm sure we all know that, but I just want to just for the record be like, yeah, she had talent. Yes, she had drive. Yes, she has focus. But also her dad was the manager and made sure she had the spotlight. She had the solos. So, I mean, it was the nepotism for me. Honestly.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you look at like the Jackson 5 and stuff like that, but the same way I talk about Beyonce would look at, like, sometimes look at the other members crazy. After a while, Michael Jackson did that too.
He sure did.
He'd be looking at his brothers like, why are y'all here? And he wasn't even like in the group originally. He saw his brothers, you know, dancing, singing, whatever, do I pop pop, as St. Marbrax would say. And then he had an interest in it. And then, you know, Joe was like, all right, well, if you're going to work, you're going to work.
Yeah.
And then he worked and he was talented because he worked. And then he became Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So I think if I see my child has the passion. Mm-hmm. And the drive, I do want to be in a position to fuel it and say, okay, we're going to get your 10,000 hours.
Okay. That sounds very, very supportive.
Yeah, I'd like to be because I think it is important about being supportive and not just the thing that I think they should be doing. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of parents who are, like, you know, making their kids do musical instruments.
100%.
There are just parents who want their kids to do certain things and are pushing things on them. But then it just fizzles away. And there are kids who are like, oh, I think I'd like to do this. And then they start to do it and they're like, nah, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
I wanted to ask you, though, how would you navigate that? Because what if it's something new? Like, do you push your kid to be like, well, just try a little longer. You've only been doing karate a week. Let's revisit this when you're at a month. And then if you don't like it then, or are you just like, nope, you said you don't like it. Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm not going. There's no way that you get you pay your money and it's like a week's worth and that's it. Like, no, you're going to go for a little bit. But like, you know, I may start it off as like a summer activity. Like for the summer, you're going to go to karate. Mm-hmm. And if after the summer is over and you're like, I don't like karate. Okay. We're not going to do karate anymore. But because especially after 3 months, you should be able to know whether you're going to be good at or interested in karate or certain stuff where it's like you take your kid to go swimming because they need to learn how to swim. And they're like, I don't like swimming. And I'm like, okay, I'm still going to make you go for a bit just so that you learn how to swim so you don't drown.
Right.
But I'm not going to make you join the swim team.
Right. Yeah, get some basic fundamentals. Like, learn to kick, punch, jump, and karate. And then after you get the basics, maybe I'll take you out.
Yeah.
Okay. On my plate for meat and potatoes, I just have a question here. And we might have touched on this earlier. I can't remember if this was just like our regular off podcast conversation with our group of friends or not, but I just really need someone to tell me, like, who is Mike Pence? Like, who is he? What is he?
You gonna wait till now to ask about him?
Okay, let me tell you why I bring it up, because they're starting the rebrand of Mike Pence. He started like countering things that our former former president has said. He's starting to distance himself from some trash Republican policies. And I'm just like, who are you? Are people just about to let you chameleon your way out of this situation? And also, like, besides you saying, America, we have the meats, like, what do I know you for? Like, I don't know you for.
I ain't gonna take Hillshire's thing.
They won't take our meats. Like, I'm just like, I just see a piece of chalk when I look at him. And I don't even mean that in a white way. I just mean it in a bland way. Like, I just see a piece of chalk in a suit. It's very confusing for me. It's disturbing me and my homegirls that we don't know who Mike Pence is.
Who started saying that? Because I watched this miniseries and the girl was always like, me and my homegirls. And then the guy... one of the guys was just like, he just started, yeah, we get it, you and your homegirl. But she would say it when no one else would be around. Like, he's like, me and my homegirls. And it's like, what homegirls? Nobody's here to co-sign.
You remember that video about, it was the two friends that were outside of the club, the Bella Noche.
Okay. Yeah. Right, but even that makes sense because the other girl, like, she went to the club with her friends.
Yeah.
But when people just be saying it, be like, what homegirls? Nobody else is here. What are you talking about?
So I guess I just want y'all to be mindful of the rebrand that's happening across the board with many different people from many different parties, but mainly the Republican Party, and how people are just trying to act like they was on the team, let's do the right thing the whole time, and they were not.
I don't know. They might as well just double down. Not that I want them to. I don't want them to. Let me be very clear. I don't want another insurrection incident.
Mm-hmm.
But what I feel is that the people that was riding for Trump. Mm-hmm.
Standing still by?
I'm not standing by. I mean, yeah, they're doing that too. But they're still about that life.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I can say that for a fact. Yes, I saw the pamphlet yesterday. Yes, they are.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, they are.
One of these days, we gotta talk about this pamphlet.
Podcast. I feel like hopefully around December time. That's what I'm hoping, but we'll see.
I'm sorry, we in January. I gotta wait till December.
We gotta wait for a lot of things. This is a pandemic. We're in a pandemic, okay?
You said it like that was something. You sound like Sheree. Spring, summer, September. Like, what?
That's a funny comparison. But yeah. So I just, if any of the listeners, I will send you some free M&O podcast merch. If you could give me a legitimate response to who is Mike Pence, like a legitimate response, free shipping, free M&O podcast merch on the house. If you can answer that question.
You remember when Mike Jones was like, who? Ooh. Mike Jones?
Yeah. You know, just in case, even if he didn't believe who was telling him, he got his name tatted on his arms too. Just in case. Yeah, I remember him. I liked him.
He was a cool cat. He was. Yeah. I unless I've evaporated it from my mind, but I don't think I ever heard any bad things about him. So I hope he's doing well. I hope he's healthy.
Yeah, I think he and Paul Wall lost weight at the same time. You know, they were H-Town friends, but I haven't heard anything from him. I know he did try to do his little R&B rebrand, and then that
R&B.
You don't remember when you're ready, I gotta be next to you, my Jones. You remember that song?
Nope.
Okay. Well, basically, in the video, he eating cereal with his girl.
That is real romantic. Oh my god, that is so romantic. A man that just like. Give me, like, if we have a Saturday cartoon kind of vibe.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's something that I posted today, too. I was like, I wish somebody looked at me the way President Bush looks at First Lady Michelle Obama, because that man is head over heels in love.
Y'all can tell me otherwise. I can appreciate the beauty of their platonic friendship.
I'm not talking about their friendship. I'm talking about how he adores her. That's what right. I'm talking about.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I know he does. I know he does. But also, just, you know, I guess I wanted to iterate as opposed to reiterate. It's platonic.
I mean, yes, yeah, one way. That's why I said, I keep saying how he looks at her. It's not reciprocated in the least.
She said that she's, you know, they are cool and she does like him personally because, and who knows how this will continue to be, but typically when you sit, that reminds me of something else, I'm going to bring that up. Okay. But when you sit at these political functions, it's always president, First Lady, President, First Lady, President, yeah. First Lady. So because George Bush was the last president before Barack Obama, she always has to sit next to him. So yeah. they would be at all the political functions together, and they didn't ignore each other, and now they have a friendship, and she allegedly appreciates him as well.
Allegedly. These are all just publicly made statements. You know
how she talk. Said that.
That's what I'm saying. With her mouth. Publicly made statements, but you know how that goes.
But
Bump Bush.
So yeah, there's a few things that I wanted to say after you brought that up. It reminded me.
Okay.
I forgot that Hillary still got to go to all these functions.
Girl, did you? I feel like people forgot that she was also in court last year. Like, she was in court for some of her shenanigans last year, and that just kind of never got any media play. It was wild.
I just feel like there's a special place that typically people who ran for president and did not win go. And get to just like live a life of isolation right. and quiet.
Right.
And Hillary don't get to live that life.
You're right. You're completely right.
And it's like constantly being invited. It's like constantly having to go to a party that technically you weren't invited to. You're just someone else's plus one. And you like, I don't want to go if I don't have my own invitation. And they're like, but you got to go.
That's funny. That was your analogy. In my head, I'm thinking like you have some coworkers and you all went up for the same job and you didn't get the job, but you still work there.
So. Well, that's the thing. It's like she doesn't work there. She don't got another job.
Though. Just by
yeah, that's what it's like you left the job, but you still have to keep going to all the fuck. It just feels so weird. It's very much she would not be there.
Yeah.
Except she has to be there.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her.
Yeah, I can understand why you feel bad for her. I don't. But when I saw her in the picture, it did throw me off. I was like, why is she there? Oh, yeah, she's a Clinton. It threw me off when I saw her. And I was like, okay, there's Bill. All right. And there's President Obama. All right. There's First Lady Michelle. There go the Bushes. Yada, yada, yada. There's Pence, a.k.a. Chalky. And then I saw Hillary and I was like, why is she there? Oh, yeah.
But that's why it's funny to me, because I never forget that Bill Clinton is her husband. I just forget that because Bill Clinton is her husband, she got to keep going to these functions.
Right.
Because in my mind, a long time ago, she stopped being Bill Clinton's wife and he started being Hillary's husband.
Yes. 100% agree with that. 100%.
So even though I know he's the president, because even though he wasn't the first president in my lifetime, he was the first president I remember. Like, I knew the name of and stuff as a child.
Right.
I just forget about him. I don't know. I be forgetting about him as anything other than Hillary's husband. But then these things come up and it'd be like, oh, she don't get to sit in her I'm of a political party seat. She don't get to sit like how Bernie was sitting. She got to sit.
I'm just the wife. Not just the wife. Let me not play her like that. But yeah, I'm here.
She got to sit in the partner seat because now, you know, we have a second husband.
Right.
And so it's the partner seat.
Right.
It's not just the
wife seat. Wouldn't he be first husband? He's not first husband? Are they calling him second husband?
I don't know if they tend to call it second husband or second wife, but he's the second husband because she's not the president.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Kamala at this point. Her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me her husband. She's not the president, so.
Oh. Okay. But we didn't call, did we call the vice president, the former vice president's wife, second lady?
I don't know. That's just what I'm saying. Oh. I don't know if they got an official title.
Interesting. Well,
all I know is Dr. Jill went from being Dr. Jill's second wife to Dr. Jill first lady.
Yeah. I love how they're still, like, use her correct title. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden. I like that. Or maybe it's First Lady Dr. Jill Biden.
Right. Yeah. We got to ask her what she would like the order to be. Right.
What do you want to be called? Because I could just play things on you all day. You tell us what you want. Okie dokie. You ready to move over to our underappreciated awards?
Yeah, because it's getting dark and I didn't turn on the lights, so I could barely read what I wrote.
Okay. You go first.
Okay. My underappreciated award is going to the miniseries Small Axe. It came out in December on Amazon Prime in the US, I believe on BBC in the UK. And it is a miniseries of films by Steve McQueen. It's about Caribbean, people of Caribbean descent in the UK in the 70s. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I need to watch this. Evidently, me and my brother had the same thought process, because when Christmas came and we were at the parents' house, it was just the four of us. Before people be like, you ain't social distance, it's always the four of us, mm-hmm. and maybe one other person, and this is the only place we go, so that's the only place I go, so leave me alone. But anywho, it was the four of us at Christmas, and we both had the same separate thought of, we need to watch this after dinner. And a lot of it is like historical things that happened that are really hard to watch, because typically with minority storytelling, there is a lot of like trauma that happens. But what I appreciate is that I feel like Steve McQueen didn't just pick the stories that were traumatic. Like, he picked the stories that were real of that time. Mm-hmm. And some of them, one in particular, was just like a good time thing. And one of them was just like, all of it was just things that I felt like I needed to see. And I never lived in England, but my immediate family did. And having that duality and that understanding, there's just a lot of things that I felt like growing up, I felt about myself, but I never got to see reflected, or sometimes it was just hard to, there wasn't always someone around who like got these things that you're thinking or feeling or whatever. And there was a lot in this miniseries that I was crying throughout it, and I was feeling things throughout it, and I felt like it allowed me to have an understanding of family members without talking to those family members, because if you know something about Caribbean people, they don't be talking about their feelings. They don't talk about even like their bad experiences that they've been through. They're just kind of like, it is what it is. I gotta go on about my day. And that, even that was like part of it. It was like, man, I have no business for this. I have to go to work. So things that like could happen to you, you get up the next day and you still have to figure out your life. You still have to just live. And it was just so beautiful. It's made available in the US, so I would really appreciate for people who aren't me, mm-hmm. who didn't grow up in a Caribbean British household, to just watch it and also gain that perspective, because that was also something that I felt growing up was very difficult, being of a very specific, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in America that feel that way, but like a very specific type of culture, mm-hmm. that there are people around that look like you, but they aren't like you. So as much as I am a Black American, I'm a Black American of Jamaican and British descent. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn so much about Black American culture having lived here. Mm-hmm. And I'd love and appreciate if there was a thing that could help Black Americans understand British and Jamaican culture besides a wine up and just like a bunch of stereotypes that I feel like they see, or like, you know, the food that they appreciate, but they don't understand like the nuances of a lot of things.
Do you feel like this movie would be a great, or miniseries would be a great starting point?
Definitely. I definitely do.
Okay. And you said it's called Last Acts, or Say That?
Small Acts.
Small Acts. I did see that you put on a post that you felt like you were seen. Do you feel like your friends, or me specifically, see you as Caribbean American, or that like the perception of you is not what you want it to be?
I think my friends know that I'm Caribbean American. I think that they just think of it as like an interesting fact.
What? Okay. Interesting.
Like, and I felt this way from elementary school. Like, I remember saying to someone like, oh, you know, my siblings were born in England and my parents were born in Jamaica. And then she would be like, oh my God, tell them what you said. And I'm like,
what?
Or even just like, it's like an interesting factor and idea. Like how we talked about how, you were talking about 21 Savage and how he should have like a British accent or something.
I don't think that's what I said exactly. I think I did mention that he was British or from England.
Right, but you were saying like his, like him having this Atlanta accent maybe wasn't as like genuine or something like that. And I was like, well, if this is where he grew up, it's, you know, it makes sense that this is the accent that he has, even if he has, you know, memories and experiences or whatever, mm-hmm. in England. This is where he grew up. And so then we started talking about my sister, and in your mind, my sister has a British accent.
Yeah.
But I was like, but she don't.
Yeah, I don't know why, but she did in my head. Maybe my head just puts that on her, or maybe it slips out sometimes and that's what I hang on to. But then you brought up the whole New York thing and I'm like, yeah, that's there too.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think of it like a bad thing. I think it's just like, once people hear, like I said, like it's a fact, like she's born in England, it's like, okay, that's the thing I remember about her, so that's what I associate her with. Like, even my parents don't really have a British accent anymore. I feel like my dad more sometimes says like things in a Jamaican accent, more so than my mom. But even that is weird to me because he left England, he left Jamaica when he was very young, and my mom spent more time in Jamaica than he did. So all of it is just like, it's a nuance. All of it is just like not cut and dry.
That's interesting to me that you say that, because I clearly hear your mom's English accent and I clearly hear your dad's Jamaican accent. So it's, I don't know if it's because I'm not around as much or what it is, but it's interesting to me that you think that, I guess, those have left them, or they're not as strong as they used to be, maybe?
Yeah, like, it's definitely something where it's like, oh, this isn't a normal. You don't speak how everyone else around here speaks, so I can understand people noticing it more, but it's not... as someone, you know, with that culture, it's very much like, yeah, but it's not the full thing anymore. Like, they just don't have that anymore. And it makes sense because they haven't lived there in their entire adult life.
Right.
Like, they left as children.
Right.
Jamaica particularly. And they've lived in America longer than they've lived anywhere else. So them losing... Or them assimilating more into a American type of dialect makes sense, because this is where they've been the most, and right. So this is what they have a lot of, even if they identify as other things.
Okay.
But Small Axe just was really good because it shows that duality for people in England. It's like the same way that I feel like I have all these hats or these experiences or these parts of myself, because my family is Jamaican and British. It's like the first step in that fact is, okay, how did the Jamaican people or the people of Caribbean descent feel first being in England? How were they treated? What was their life like? And yeah, it's good stuff.
Sounds very introspective.
I definitely think that's what Steve was trying to do. And he's a good filmmaker, so I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Cool, yeah.
Steve McQueen made 12 Years a Slave for... reference.
Not to be confused with Lightning McQueen.
What? Okay. I know, but I was just like, why would that be confused?
Because he has the same name.
Oh. I've never seen Cars, and it's because I know I wouldn't like it, and
neither have I, but they got the same name all the same.
But I was thinking more of like Alexander McQueen. I think sometimes he gets confused, but I didn't doubt he would be confused for a car. But thank you.
You're welcome. I need some clarity. Anywho, my underappreciated award is going to the Clubhouse Clowners. So I've been on Clubhouse. I've been enjoying it. I took a break. I got back on. I've been enjoying it. It's been helping my business. It's been helping me deal with some mental issues. It's been helping me have some hard conversations. It's been helping me laugh, yada, yada, yada. But last night, I was in a room and the people moderating, aka hosting the conversation, were just straight up trolling And if you weren't in the room when it started, you didn't know. So people were coming up and actually trying to get information, trying to learn, trying to build their business. And people were just clowning them. Like, yeah, we're going to drop some gems. Okay, everybody talk at once right now. Okay, I'm moderator. Like, just straight up being clowns. And basically, they were just mocking all these people who get on Clubhouse and try to act like, I'm the leader. I'm in charge. You're going to do what I say because I can pull you on the stage and I can take you off. And I greatly appreciated that. It was greatly needed after being in so many serious rooms to join a room where people were just like, let's clown on these people, but let's pretend that we're actually here to do something important. So yeah, my underappreciated award is going out to them.
Shout out to those who bring a good joke from time to time, because I think I'd be a little bit confused.
Yep.
And maybe frustrated, yep. But then I'd also would probably just leave the group.
Yep.
If I was like, I don't know what they on, but it wasn't helpful.
Yep.
Yep.
We got a lot
and
of them.
Hopefully that's what those people did who weren't in there from the beginning. Cause I think a lot of people probably could appreciate that if they knew what was going on.
Right. There were a lot of people that popped in, was like, don't know what's going on, let me get out. But there are a lot of people that popped in and was like, oh, I'm trying to do this with my business. And then when they realized what was going on, they were like, oh, okay, I see what's going on. I'm gonna join in on the trolling. So there were way more people who were like, okay, yeah, let me take a break from being super serious and trying to build a business in 2 days and actually just relax a little bit on this app. So yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's the business in 2 days that I have a problem with. It's not the trying to build your business. It's definitely the, if you just do this, and this, then you would have been had $1 million by now. And it's like, again, no, like it goes back to the whole 10,000 hours, mm-hmm. putting in a lot of effort, putting in a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Like everyone knows there is no get rich quick scheme.
None. You have to put in the work. And as much as I would love to have been born with a silver spoon or some lottery funds or stocks from all these big bank companies, you have to put in some sweat equity is what they call it. You have to put in the work. There is no, I can get you $10,000 in 3 days or learn how I made $5,000 after 2 Clubhouse meetings. And these are real room titles. And there are like hundreds of people in them trying to learn from these AKA scammers, as far as I'm concerned. Like, you're not a leader, you're scamming and you're drawing people in. And then eventually at the end of the discussion, we're talking about, oh, you buy a course, oh, follow me on Instagram, and then I'll send you a free link. And then after that free link, you have to pay for blah, blah. And it's just like, they've gotten a lot of people, like thousands of dollars, especially people that have their little cash apps in their profile. It's like, if this is a discussion type of platform, why is your cash app in your profile? So it's been a wild ride. But yeah, I completely agree with you. There's no way you're going to build a booming business making $10,000 in 3 days legally. No way.
Yeah. And just knowing that, like, even when you work as hard as you possibly can, sometimes, you know, 2020 is the perfect example of that. There can be bumps in the road that still mess you up. So not looking at yourself as being a complete failure because you're like, I did all the things, like I worked hard and it still didn't work out. I'm still not whatever. It's like, sometimes it's like that. Sometimes you can be Gabby Douglas in 2012 1 year, and then you Gabby Douglas in 2016, and it's not bad, you just no longer number one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, Gabby Douglas still got gold medals,
right?
But that, you know, her being the number one gymnast, that's not a thing anymore. It you know, Simone Biles took that over, and right. I hope that she never feels inadequate because she's no longer the number one gymnast in the world,
right?
Also, I want to say that sometimes people be scamming and it work out for them.
Mm. Hold up. The scammers are the people who participated in getting scammed.
The scammers, like, there's someone that we know that I felt like she was on that pyramid scheme stuff. And I just always talk about her because I'm like, she pyramid schemed her way to the top.
Yep.
Like, she got what she needed out of the pyramid scheme. Yep. And then she had what she needed to go and do what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And have a bunch of different businesses that I honestly do feel like are working out for her. But she learned how to, you know, some scammers, they be successful as scammers. I just don't think that the scam gonna work for you all the time.
Right.
Like, that's not necessarily the best thing for you to learn. But, you know, some scammers be scamming. And it,
scammers be scamming.
And they get it. They get it in.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I know who you're talking about. Definitely feel like she's an anomaly. And I remember when the height of that scam was like super, and I was like, do y'all not see what's going on here? But everybody was hopping on it. Everybody became a representative. And I'm just like, okay, then that one was debunked. And then another one popped up and they hopped on that one too. And I'm like, are y'all not seeing what's going on here?
Right, because she was the top scammer.
Right. Right.
And again, I'm not saying that like her new business is a scam, because I don't think it. Like, eventually she started doing stuff and I was like, nah, this is like legit. Like, this is really good stuff.
Right.
But maybe she just learned the right way to scam.
Right.
And I ain't mad at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you are doing people dirty, it's going to catch up on you or whatever, but hers right now seems pretty legit to me. So yeah, I mean, again, she's that one anomaly. It's kind of like the lottery. Like, you can't win if you don't play. Well, somebody gonna win. Likely it's not you. Yeah. Somebody gonna win.
Speaking of which, I did not win.
I didn't either.
And I bought a ticket.
I bought tickets, which bothered me because it's not even when I don't even play the lottery like I used to. So it's not even a game I play. But I know that when you do play, you're supposed to pick like one number and stick to it. My dumb self picked like 10 different numbers. It was like, one of these got to be it. Wrong, negatory. But yeah, you can't win if you don't play, right?
You introduced me to scratch offs because I was like, what's the point? But and I still don't know that I buy lottery tickets like literally maybe once a year. But the fun thing about a scratch off that I have found is I always at least win another scratch off.
Right. That was my other disappointment. I didn't even get any of the minimal prizes. Usually if I'm playing that many, I'll get at least like a $3 or $5, or you got the bonus ball. I didn't get jack squat. So I was very, very, very surprised. But you just reminded me to look at it. Oh my gosh. All right, you guys. Powerball. Nobody's been winning it, apparently. Powerball is now at 730 million and Mega Millions is at 970 million for a combined.
You just dated us.
A combined total of over $1.5 billion right now is up for grabs. That's wild. Before taxes, take 33%, FYI.
Yeah. My dad was like, I was like, I'm about to go buy lottery tickets. Do you want one? And then he said, yeah. And then when I went to get his numbers, he's like, wait, it's not at a billion yet. And I'm like, so you just don't want the money? Like, you can only win the lottery if it's, like, they literally have commercials about that joke where it's like, oh, I only won $7 million. I shouldn't have played. And it's like, no, nobody who's playing the lottery is saying that.
Nobody. Only $7 million? People, wow.
Right. But the thing was, it's over 100 million. It's over 500 million. So what you complaining for? Give me the numbers or not. It's more money than you ever seen at one time. Give me the money. I wasn't even asking for money. All I was just asking for was his numbers. I was going to use my money. Now he ain't going to get it.
You know what's funny? As you're saying this, I just flipped over. So I've been writing on a scrap sheet of paper. I just flipped it over and I have lottery numbers on this side. So maybe I should go play today.
Go play.
Well, we know, I mean, people don't know when we record or whatever, but for sure, because of, you know, Powerball is drawn Saturdays and Wednesdays, and Mega Millions is drawn Tuesdays and Fridays. So Mega Million might hit 1 billion by this Friday. It's kind of wild.
All right. Well, we'll see. Bye.
Would you like to tell people where to find us?
Yep, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at M&O Podcast, where you can slide in our DMs and comment on our photos and all that good stuff and hit the double tap. You can also send us your questions, comments, and concerns at mandyandollie@gmail.com. Yep. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen so that you know when we drop a new episode.
Sounds good to me. Good luck, you guys. If you are going to play, it was great talking to you.
Yeah. Bye. Bye. Yeah, way back when.